And when you get relief, what where do you go? You take a break? Or?
Generally, what I do if I know I'm going up to the bow, I'll go down to my room and get some extra clothes on, warm clothes on, before proceeding to the bow.
And how long does that take?
I would say up to 10 minutes.
If you were having to make, say, a 20-degree course change, about how much rudder would you use to make those course changes?
I guess that depends on how fast you want to make the turn. If you're told to make it an easy turn, I might give it between 5 and 10 degrees.
Okay. And a quick turn, what would you do?
I might use 20 degrees.
Do you remember what course you were steering when you were relieved on the helm?
No, I don't.
Do you know if you were in hand or gyro steering?
I was definitely in hand steering.
Were you giving in any guidance or instructions before you went up on lookout? Any special things to look out for?
No, not that night.
What do you understand your duties as a lookout to be?
My duties are to report any aids to navigation, any vessels. You might report some specifics as to other vessel movement, whether their bearing is opening or closing, anything that the bridge might be interested in knowing, obstructions in the water.
When you got up to the bow, do you remember where the Valdez was, the Exxon Valdez was at that time?
I believe we were very close to the Narrows.
You had passed south of the Narrows already? Or you were still
in? To the best of my recollection, we were, if not in them, just beginning to enter them.
Okay. How was the visibility when you got up at the bow?
It had stopped snowing. It was very dark. It was a heavy overcast night. I recall being able to see the shoreline, the snow on the mountains. But I wouldn't say it was great.
You have roughly any distance for visibility?
No, I don't think I could estimate that.
Did you have any wind when you were up in the bow?
I don't recall.
While you're up there, do you remember reporting any navigation aids or objects to the bridge, vessels?
Specifically, I don't, no.
Now, shortly after you were relieved and as helmsman, you were up on the bow. I understand you were called to go back aft to assist the pilot get off the vessel?
That's correct.
Who notified you of that?
The master did.
On the radio?
Yes.
And what does that require you to do once you get back there at the stern?
To stand by for any assistance the pilot might need. Sometimes they have small duffel bags that need to be lowered down to them, and also to stand by for any safety things that might come up.
Was there anybody else aft helping you to do that?
The third mate was there.
Nobody else, just the two
No.
of you. After the pilot got off, what did you do?
The third mate and I stowed the pilot ladder, and then from there I proceeded back to the bow.
How long does it take to stow that equipment?
I would estimate up to 15 minutes.
Okay. And after getting back up to the bow, how much longer did you stay up there?
Probably no more than 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes.
And then what did you do?
I proceeded from the bow and was off watch.
Were you given any instructions to your next relief on what to do on lookout?
I was called at the bow at what must have been maybe 13 minutes to the hour. I know it was before 10 minutes to the hour. The captain asked me what I thought of the visibility, and I answered, and I don't think it was a very specific answer because I didn't know. And at that time, he also instructed me that the next lookout would be assuming a watch on the wing, and if I should run into her while she was coming up the deck or in the house, that I should tell her that.
Okay. And did you run into your relief?
Yeah, yes, I did.
Where was that?
In the passageways.
Now, before getting off the lookout, did you ever notice any ice in the channel?
No, I didn't see any ice.
Would that be normal? I know you haven't had that much experience, but for you, would it be normal for the lookout before getting to Bligh Reef to stand lookout in the bridge wing?
I haven't made that many trips myself, so I guess I can't say what would be normal.
After you were relieved and you're in the deckhouse, what did you do in the deckhouse?
I went to the mess deck, had some dessert, and then proceeded to my cabin.
Could you describe what you experienced at the time the vessel grounded?
I was getting ready for bed. I heard a very loud, what seemed to be grinding sound, followed, or I guess at the same time, by some vibration, and then followed by what would be fairly heavy vibration. At the time, I thought we had possibly struck some ice.
Did you look at a watch to see what time that was?
No, I didn't.
Were you given any information or told that the vessel had grounded? Or how were you notified what actually happened?
Sometime later, the third mate knocked on my cabin door and told me that we were hard aground.
Did he ask you to do anything, go on watch, or give you any guidance or instructions?
Well, I asked him, you know, what was happening, and he said something about he thought we were losing some cargo, and that was about the extent of it. And that's all he said to me.
Did you go out on deck?
No, I didn't.
You just stayed in your room then?
Yes.
When did you go back on watch again?
At 8 the following morning.
So you slept through that night then?
No, I wouldn't say I slept through the night at all. The reason I suppose I stayed in my cabin, I recall just at the time, was if they wanted me, they knew where they could get a hold of me. So that's why I stayed there.
Let's see. The vessel arrived about 2300 on Wednesday, the 22nd. What did you do? You were on the 8 to 12 watch that night, right?
That's correct.
What did you do after getting off watch?
I believe I went to bed.
You didn't get involved in assisting in any cargo preparations?
No.
How long do you normally relax before you turn into sleep? Go to sleep?
In the evening, 15 minutes.
And Thursday morning, while the vessel was loading cargo, what time did you get up to go on watch?
I would say around 7.
What do you do on watch while the vessel's loading?
Assist in, I guess, what would be general operations. Sometimes, most of the valves on the ship are electronically operated. At times, just, for example, watching the indicators on the valves that they're closed when they're supposed to be closed. We also tend lines. Pretty much do what we're directed to do.
Did you plan to go ashore in Valdez on that day?
We had planned to.
What changed your mind?
The weather.
The vessel got underway that evening. Did you get any rest or sleep before getting ready to get underway?
I believe I did that afternoon.
You know how much sleep you got?
Typically, it might be 1 to 2 hours.
What do you do for recreation on the Valdez?
There's a gym on the ship. I read quite a bit, watch a few movies. That's about it.
And when the vessel's loading cargo in port, do you have any duties when you're off watch? Any maintenance?
Generally not.
What about at sea when you're off watch?
Off watch, I usually work about 4 hours a day of overtime.
And that's 7 days a week? Or?
6 days a week.
Six. Have you ever been felt so tired that you don't think you could have performed your work as an AB because of overtime?
I've felt very tired at times, but I don't think to the point where I couldn't perform my duties. That's a pretty hard thing to measure.
No, true. Sometimes you can't recognize it, right? Have you seen mates or engineers doing work on the Valdez that would normally be done by unlicensed people?
No, I haven't.
What is your monthly average for overtime? That includes weekends, okay.
I don't think 140 hours a month is too out of the ordinary.
That's all the questions I have.
Thank you, Mr. Kacharian. Dr. Berkey, do you have a few questions?
This is the specialist in human performance.
I believe you testified that you've worked for X on about 18 months. Is that correct?
That's about correct, yes.
Have you served on other vessels besides, other tank vessels besides Exxon vessels?
No other tank vessels.
What vessels have you served on?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Would you repeat the question, please?
Yes. What other types of vessels have you served on?
As a cadet at Texas Maritime College, I served as a cadet on the training ship there.
What is Exxon's policy regarding the use of alcohol and drugs on board?
Dr. Berkey?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Beg your pardon.
Also, prior to employment with Exxon, I shipped as a cadet with this company. Prior to that, I was a mate engineer designate on a research vessel on the Great Lakes. And prior to that, a charter boat skipper on the Great Lakes.
Okay. Thank you. My apologies. What is your knowledge about Exxon's policy regarding the use of alcohol and drugs on board vessel?
My understanding is that it's a fireable offense.
Pardon me?
That it is a fireable offense.
And when did you gain this knowledge?
I would say shortly after employment.
In your experience, how is this policy enforced?
I guess I haven't had any personal experience with it. outside of, for example, if a new master would join a vessel, he might outline that policy when he joins a vessel.
Have you ever gone ashore and come back with packages that it may have, or a bag that may have been searched to see if there is alcohol and or drugs being carried aboard?
No, that's never happened to me.
Have you ever seen it happen to someone else?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever seen anyone search anyone for alcohol?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever gone ashore at Valdez?
No, I haven't.
Where have you gone ashore on an Exxon vessel when you were shipping for Exxon?
Various cities and ports.
Has anybody ever been searched, to your knowledge, when they came back aboard?
No, not to my knowledge.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Dr. Berkey.
That was Dr. Merritt Berkey, the toxicology specialist.
Mr. Radke, just a few more questions about Exxon's policy as opposed to its practice. You said that, to the best of your knowledge, possession, mere possession, not use necessarily of alcohol and drugs on board the vessels is a fireable offense.
That's my understanding of it.
Do you know of anyone who's ever been fired for possession on board a vessel?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you. Was this your first voyage with Captain Hazelwood? I forget.
No, I don't believe so. I think it was my second trip with him. Up to Valdez, is that what you're asking?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Did you notice anything unusual about his condition when he was speaking to you on this voyage?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You say he called you on the handheld about sometime around 23:50, I believe, and told you to secure your watch and come aft and tell Ms. Jones to stand her watch on the wing. How long would it take you normally to get from the bow to the passageway where you met Maureen Jones?
I would say up to 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. You said Mr. Cousins knocked on your door and informed you that you had run aground.
That's correct.
Did he at that time or any other time, or Mr. Kagan, or Captain Hazelwood, or anyone else ever speculate to you as to why the vessel had run aground?
No.
Okay. And, let's see. And then after you had been so informed, you stayed in your cabin?
That's correct.
Generally on a merchant vessel, or more specifically on an Exxon vessel, is curiosity in an unlicensed officer something that's rewarded?
I guess I don't understand your question.
I guess my question is directed at trying to understand why you stayed in your cabin when this significant event had happened.
Dr. Reich, I think Mr. Radke already said he stayed in his room in case he was needed. The other members of the crew would know where to get in contact with him. Is that not true?
That's correct.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Did anyone direct you to stay in your room for this reason?
No.
Okay. That's all, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Commander Waldron.
Thank you. On the evening before, you had the 8 to 12 watch, and I understand it's your custom to switch with your watchmate on which time you'll be on the lookout. Is that correct?
I repeat that, please.
At what time during the 8 to 12 watch on the previous evening?
Questions are now being asked by Coast Guard Commander Darrell Waldron.
I was on lookout when we arrived at the terminal. I believe I was on lookout the whole time on that arrival from when I came on watch to the dock. I know I wasn't on the wheel, so.
Do you know where the location was when you went up on lookout, location in Prince William Sound?
No, I don't recall.
Do you recall seeing any ice on that transit?
No, I don't.
Do you recall seeing any aids to navigation?
Yes, I do.
Do you know which aids they were? Or?
I believe that night the visibility was poor, and I do remember reporting the lights at Valdez Narrows.
You stated that on the night of 23 March, you were not instructed to look for anything particular when you went up on lookout. Is it normal when you're transiting a port area not to receive any instructions about what you're to do as a lookout?
I think that's normal, yes.
Then it's normal for the mate to trust you to know what to look for, even though he has not given you any specific instructions.
The mates on a regular basis do, in a general way, review with us what the duties of a lookout are. On specific occasions, specific to arrivals and departures, it doesn't seem abnormal that a mate would not give specific instructions.
During the switchover time, when your watch mate left the bow lookout, came back aft, changed clothes, came up to relieve you, and then you went forward to the bow lookout, how much time elapsed between the time he left and the time you arrived at the bow lookout?
That would have to be about 30 minutes.
Who was the lookout during that time?
There was no other lookout.
Sometime after 23:30, you returned to the bow after storing the pilot's ladder. Could you tell me which aids to navigation were visible to you, and did you report them?
I don't recall making any reports.
Did you see any aids to navigation?
I believe so, yes.
Could you, by looking at the chart behind you, determine where your location was about that time?
I'm still pretty fuzzy on that. Like I said, I can't be certain if we were through the Narrows or just entering the Narrows.
No, I'm talking about coming out.
Okay.
Towards the end of your watch, after
yes.
You'd finished the, with the pilot. The pilot had already left the vessel and you went back up to the bow. Which aids of navigation did you see when you went back up?
I don't recall any.
You did not see any aids of navigation?
I don't recall seeing any.
Did you see any ice at that time?
No, I didn't.
Can you point out on the chart the location of where do you feel like the location of the vessel was when you left the bow?
I don't think I can do that. I wasn't navigating.
Okay. What were the weather conditions when you were the last time that you were on the bow lookout?
They were improving from earlier in the watch. I guess I don't recall anything that really stands out in my mind.
Do you think they were severe?
No.
Tolerable?
I don't recall being uncomfortable.
Do you wear glasses all the time?
Yes.
Do you wear them when you're on lookout?
Yes, I do.
Do you have any problems wearing them in inclement weather?
It hasn't bothered me, no.
And did you have them on that night?
Yes.
think that's one other question. After after the casualty occurred and during the next day, did you speak to anyone concerning what may have happened on the bridge after your watch?
No, I didn't.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commander. Mr. Hallett.
Mr. Chairman, we have no questions at this time.
Thank you. Captain Deppe?
Mr. Chairman, we have no questions either.
Mr. Cluccillo.
Were you ever aware of anyone having alcohol aboard the Exxon Valdez while you were aboard?
No, I wasn't.
That's all. Thank you.
Mr. Armentrout?
Mr. Radke, yes, just one question. After the Valdez grounded, or during the grounding sequence, you stated that you were in your bunk room or in your quarters preparing to go to bed, and you felt, and you described what you felt. Mr. Cousins also described it as a series of jolts, maybe half a dozen jolts, and spaced in some seconds apart. I believe he said maybe 6 seconds apart. And then the ship came. It was hard to ground. Does that characterization agree with about what you described?
I don't recall jolts. I recall just more of a sound.
Where are your quarters located in the bowels of the ship?
On B deck. That would be two decks up from the main deck, midships.
And at a certain point in time, you said then Mr. Cousins did come down to your room and just briefly explained to you what had occurred. And you stayed on in your quarters. There was a period of time following the hard grounding that there was some maneuvering done with the Exxon Valdez in an attempt to free it. Were you aware of, in other words, Cousins came down to you after that had gone on, or did he come down before any other motion of the ship was experienced, or if you felt it?
After situation that I described to you, I don't recall any vibrations at all on the ship, which would be characteristic of engines being maneuvered.
Or you don't recall the ship, even any motion of the ship?
No, I don't.
Would you have been in a position in your quarters to have heard the engines or to have heard this maneuvering attempts?
I can't be sure about that.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Radke, just a follow-up or clarification on your overtime. I think you said you average about 4 hours of overtime a day.
That's correct.
About 6 days a week. And then
correct.
You did some calculations and you said approximately 140 hours a month.
That's correct.
There's a little bit of difference in, and maybe my calculations are different. 4 hours a day, 6 days a week for a month, I have around 100 hours and you have 140. Maybe we're just multiplying differently.
That first number I gave you, the 140 hours, seemed correct because on the overtime sheets, it's not uncommon to have, let's say, 70 hours in a two-week period. Now, a lot of those hours are overtime hours that are under our contract given to us on watch. So, yeah, redoing the math here, 100 hours of actual time off watch does look more accurate.
Okay, then maybe if you will explain, I must be missing something. Is this part of your contract? You say that Exxon gives you 40 hours? Or?
No. There are certain duties that we might perform on the ship defined in the contract. While on watch, we're paid what would be a penalty rate. And on the overtime sheets, that comes out just on the computer printout as an hour of overtime.
I see.
The pay rate is just different.
Thank you for clearing that up. Thank you, Mr. Radke. Appreciate your testimony. Next person to call to the witness stand, Ms. Maureen Jones, who is the midnight to 4 a.m. lookout on the Exxon Valdez. Ms. Jones.
We're hearing from watchmates. We've heard the people that work the 8 to midnight. Now we're going to hear the people that work after midnight. And, of course, the ship actually went hard aground just shortly after midnight. You're listening to coverage of the National Transportation Safety Board hearings into the wreck of the Exxon Valdez. Maureen Jones and Robert Kagan are the two watchmates we're about to hear. We just heard from Harry Clar and Paul Radke. Radke said he customarily puts in about 140 hours overtime a month.
I represent Maureen Jones.
Ms. Jones, would you give us your full name?
Maureen Louise Jones.
And by whom are you employed?
Exxon Shipping Company.
How long have you been employed by Exxon?
Approximately 18 months. Mm-hmm.
Do you hold any documents or licenses?
Yes, I hold an able-bodied seaman's ticket and a third mate's license.
Thank you. Mr. Kacharian?
About how long have you been working for Exxon?
Since September of 1987.
And how many times have you been going into the Port of Valdez?
Approximately 5 round trips.
On any of those times, were you on watch?
Yes.
And was the helm ever in automatic steering while you were in Prince William Sound?
I can't say for sure. I have a faint memory of coming in during the daylight hours one afternoon on the 12 to 4 watch, and right after we made the turn into the sound, we kept it on gyro until we had a series of course changes to go through.
Did you take it off gyro before you got to Naked Island?
This is just a memory. I can't say for sure exactly how long it was on or when this happened or anything.
How long have you sailed with Captain Hazelwood?
On this trip, I sailed approximately a month.
Had you sailed with him before?
Yes, I was aboard the Valdez 2 months in 86, or 87, beginning of 87.
When you were on those 5-round trips and on watch, do you recall if the captains on the ships stayed in the wheelhouse while they were in Prince William Sound?
They were up there for the majority of the time. They would leave occasionally to take care of business and return back, or they were up there the majority of the time, yes.
Okay. About how long would be the longest time they'd be away from the wheelhouse?
I couldn't say for sure. I never timed it. You know, it would be a short period. I would say a guess, 5 to 7 minutes, but I never timed it.
Do you know how to put the steering gear into gyro on the Valdez?
Yes, I do.
Okay. How do you do it?
To put it into gyro?
Right. Do you get on steady on course first before you?
Well, if you know, usually when you're coming out of a port, the captain or whoever has a con, you'll be on a course. They'll have you steady up on a course, and either they will put it in gyro or they will tell you to put it into gyro, but they will have you steady up on the course prior to pushing the button.
Does the is that a choice of the mate to allow you to do it, or do they just tell you to do it? I mean, what I'm saying, do they actually do the physical process of putting in the gyro steering, or do they leave that as an option to you?
Well, sometimes they will do it, or else they will be right there watching you do it. They always either are doing it or watch you do it. Can I have some water, please?
Now, on the evening of March 23rd, morning of March 24th, the 24th, you were on the midnight to 4 watch, is that correct?
Correct.
Can you please describe what took place from the time you were notified to go on watch?
I was called at 2320, and they told me, Jack woke me up and told me that they were just letting the pilot off and the lookout was still on the bow, so I got ready for watch, prepared to go to the bow.
And on your way to the bow, were you told to go to a different place to stand and watch?
Yes, as I left my room, I met Paul Radke in the passageway, and he told me that the captain wanted us just to switch the lookout from the bow up to the bridge wing.
Is there any way that watch partners decide who takes the first watch, the helm or the lookout? How does that work?
Yes, it's decided when I usually come on a ship, you talk with your watch partner and one person takes the odd days and one takes the even days. And whoever has the odds, you take the first wheel on the odd day.
And now, what time are you required to be on watch?
You relieve the person at 10 minutes till the hour.
And what time did you get on watch that night?
I left my room approximately 23:45, 46. And after speaking with Paul briefly in the passageway, I headed directly to the bridge.
Okay. And when you arrived on the bridge, who was up there?
The captain and the third mate and Jack, the helmsman.
And do you know where the captain and third mate were standing?
Yes, they were over on the starboard side, forward of the navigation console and the radar. Appeared to be looking out the window.
What is, when you go on watch, what is your normal practice before you get out to lookout, if the lookout is on the bridge wing?
Normally, when I go up there, if we're at sea, I will look at the chart and look at the radar and then go out and talk. So I end up on the bridge. I'm up there before 10 minutes till the hour. I go up a little bit, a few minutes early, whatever, and just check it out usually.
Okay. Where is the chart in the wheelhouse?
As you come up the ladder and you enter the wheelhouse, the chart table and everything is right there behind curtains. So you have to walk past it to walk out into the bridge.
And what color are the lights around the chart in the chart room?
It's a white light, but you can dim it. And usually at night, it's dimmed quite low.
And which radar did you look at when you went out to look out?
The night of the 23rd there, 24th, I am not sure. The first time I looked at the radar, if it was before I went out to the lookout position or if it was after the actual grounding. Now that I've come back to think about it, I'm not quite sure which it was.
Okay, did you see anything when you looked on the radar?
The time I distinctly remember looking at the radar, I did, yes.
And what did you see?
I saw what I thought was ice, and I asked Greg, the third mate, and he confirmed that it was ice to me.
Now, do you know what range the radar was set at?
No, I don't.
Did you check, in your curiosity, check what course the vessel was on when you went up on lookout?
I don't recall.
Were you given any instructions by the master or the third mate concerning anything to look out for, ice, navigation lights, anything special?
No, I was not.
Now, what do you think the duties are of a lookout?
Duties of a lookout when you're up north in Alaska this time of year is to listen, see if you hear any growlers, watch for growlers, lights.
Okay,
any hazards to the ship.
Okay. What do you mean by growlers?
I actually haven't heard the sound. It's the sound that icebergs make when they're calving, the growlers, that actual pieces of ice, the sound they make. I've just learned about it through school and through books. I haven't actually heard the sound, but they say there's a sound you can hear.
Okay. Now, did you report any navigation lights that night?
Yes, I did.
When was that, after you got on watch? Do you have an estimate of time?
I don't have any estimate. Okay. It was short time after I was up there. I didn't look at my watch when I reported it. I don't know what time it was exactly, no.
How far out on the bridge wing, and which bridge wing did you stand on?
I was on the starboard bridge wing, and I was just about as far as I could be outboard, just so I would hear, you know, most of the outside sounds. I'd be away from any other background noise.
And did you report a navigation light to the mate?
Yes, I did.
And what did you report?
I reported a red flashing light, flashing every 5 seconds, broad on the starboard bow.
And how did you determine it was flashing at 5 seconds?
Just by counting in my head.
And did you know which light it was?
Not at the time, no. I reported that light twice after I went back out on the bridge wing. I realized it was every 4 seconds, and I went back in and I reported it again to the third mate, flashing every 4 seconds.
And did the captain acknowledge your report? Who acknowledged your report?
When I walked in, I just did a quick glance. I didn't see anyone up at the window out on the bridge, so I walked back behind the curtain. Greg was plotting on the chart, or looking at the chart, what I assumed to be plotting, and I reported it to Greg, first person I saw.
Okay. Was there enough light, background lights or whatever, outside the bridge where you could see if somebody was standing at the windows?
No. I imagine if I stood still and looked for someone, maybe I could make the outline out of someone, but I don't imagine you could. Sometimes you're up there and you don't see anyone until they speak, and then you're sure they're up there. And I just came in to do my business and go back out. I wasn't looking for anyone.
And the mate accepted your report. Did you know if he did anything with that report?
I reported it. He confirmed or acknowledged it, that he heard me, and I walked back out to the bridge wing.
Well, when you saw him at the chart table, what was he doing?
When I saw him, it appeared to me that he was plotting a fix. He was hunched over the chart table, looked like he was plotting a fix. Again, I didn't study him. I just saw that he was there, reported the light, and left.
When you reported the light the second time, where was the third mate?
He was standing on the port side of the bridge looking into the radar.
Did he say anything?
He acknowledged my report again.
Did he seem excited or nervous or anything after you reported it the second time?
He didn't appear any different.
Where was this light? What direction from the bow of the ship?
Broad on the starboard bow.
And what color was the light?
Red flashing.
Did having a red light on the starboard bow, did that cause you to perceive there was some danger?
Not at the time, no.
Normally going into port, what side are red lights in a channel?
When you're arriving into a port, on the right.
And but you were leaving port and this light was on the right side?
Correct.
What was do you have any estimate for of visibility that night?
No, I don't.
When you were out on the bridge wing, did you feel any wind?
There was a slight breeze.
From forward, aft, or what?
Yes.
And you don't have any idea what time it was when you reported that light, either the first or the second time?
No, it was shortly after I arrived on watch, but I hadn't looked at my watch at any time.
Did the ship make any course changes after you reported the light?
Yes, it did.
How did you notice this?
The ship's bow relative to the light.
And how was it swinging?
It started swinging toward the right.
Towards the right. Was it a quick movement or a slow movement? Or how could you characterize it?
It was a slow swing.
Okay. Shortly after the vessel started swinging, what took place? Anything unusual?
What time frame are you?
Well, right. You said you saw the bow start swinging to the right. How soon after that did you notice anything take place on the ship? Was there grounding? Was there?
The grounding, but I can't tell you how much time elapsed between the time the turn started.
Okay. You know,
then again, I wasn't looking at my watch.
How do you characterize the way the vessel grounded?
Well, when we first hit, I heard a scraping sound up forward. It sounded like the bow was scraping over something, and there was a light. I don't know if it was the water splashing up and the lights reflecting off of it or what, but it lit up around the bow, and then feeling of the bottom scraping, coming to a grinding halt, hitting